right on. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 391. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined, as usual, with my co-host, Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live on KOOP.org. Nick Squared!
Nick Squared!
Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
We're sitting.
It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. On the show today, we have a special treat. Penfold Theatres, It's a Wonderful Life, classic radio cast. We're actually going to play 30 minutes of their show. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. Don't go away.
Who almost read Latin, up, batten, and batten back.
Remember Sandy Colfax, you can do it if you want.
Okay, I wish I had a video camera going, because that was...
That was excellente.
That was excellente. And especially
your little cat and his cap. Would you call it a tam?
It's
is that
tam.
What that is?
Yeah, that looks.
It's
that,
a tam.
Yeah.
We talked earlier saying I made him give me a line reading. Do you remember what it was? The line reading.
You want a paper?
It's close enough.
Extra.
I like the crack in the voice.
You want a paper? It's me, Crutchy.
Paper, mister.
Paper, mister.
Well, okay. I'm, we already did it, but I'm checking in with Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
And I guess I should say that Nick Squared, of course, is Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo, my cohorts in crime and the loves of my life, I must say.
Well, you know, I kind of love you a lot, and I believe the other Nick does too.
Mucho.
Mucho, por favor. So thank you, Kim Simpson, another wonderful international folk bazaar. And I loved we started out with a song from Niger, because I like to say Niger.
Niger is fun to say.
It's not Niger.
Niger. I want to know how Kim it can say all these different names and songs and all these different languages and from different cultures, and he sounds like he knows everything.
He does.
Like,
I was thinking that exact thing today. Okay, so we had two openings that we're going to talk about, one on Broadway, one off Broadway. Do we want to talk about the good first or the bad first?
I always say start with the good.
Othello.
Othello.
And I've been rehearsing, and I know I'm going to screw it up, but this is the Othello at the New York Theater Workshop with Daniel Craig, and here goes. David Oyelowo.
Yes, I did it.
I was just about to go, girl,
so
you
hard.
Did that.
That is good.
Yeah, I honestly spent about 20 minutes rehearsing saying his name, because it's hard to say.
It is.
You say it.
Oyelowo.
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 Oyelowo. So, two movie actors.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get a ticket to the show. It's like
surprise. I'm being
facetious. Surprised.
Like surprise.
Well,
hello.
No, it's Othello. I mean, it's a Shakespeare. It's not
but
like it.
It's those two.
Well, anyway,
Daniel Craig has a huge following. People
love
him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and so does David Oyelowo.
Last time I saw him on stage was with the Hugh, and they had those fierce mustaches.
Well, this is, I believe, David Oyelowo's
<You're>
debut.
So
she's just gonna
so
go.
Many
That's how many times.
Well,
in a row.
I'm just David Oyelowo.
That's a fun
anyway,
name.
This was just the Ben Brantley review was a love letter to the whole thing, really. It is a marriage made in both in heaven and hell, it says. I'm going to start just by reading. It's not often that I get chills reading a review, mm-hmm. but it's the last
isn't
thing
it
I just...
Isn't it nice, though, when you do?
I agree.
Sometimes it makes me go, oh, that piece really is mm-hmm. that...
So the last paragraph of this review says, this place, stark final scene, finds our leading men stripped to their essences. When you are these unlucky deeds relate, speak of me as I am, says Mr. Oyelowo, looking directly into the audience with scorched eyes. Okay, I just got chills again.
That's really, I mean, theatrical criticism used to be...
Like that!
So yeah. Good for him for saying that. Yeah. And also, like, for me, I love when Shakespeare is done well, and when people say, go see Shakespeare, there's such a stigma of people saying, I don't want to go see it. I don't understand it. I don't.
But you know what? That's bull cocky because as soon as you get after about the first 15 minutes, you get into the rhythm and you understand. The interesting thing about this production and this show, so Othello usually Iago steals the show in many ways. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's got a lot more meat than Othello has.
And that language.
But according to this review, David Oyelowo really found a way to bring a much more powerful presence.
Great.
To the role of Othello. It's pretty good. This is done in current times. Modern time, set in an army barracks. And even when they go from whatever city they go to another city, they stay in the same set. The set doesn't stop, doesn't change. Interestingly,
I like that
which keeps an emphasis on the language.
Exactly.
And so, which is what Anchicolello, we, as you say all the time, which is what we want, that poetry, that language. Yeah.
So there's been a couple of productions recently, Peter Sellers in 2009, and Nicholas Heitner's in 2013, where they've set this in an army in Iran. But neither of those, according to Ben Brantley, one of them was very good. So sometimes brilliantly, the one in London, and sometimes misguidedly, the one in New York. Here's an interesting thing that I didn't really think of. So Othello, of course, is the story of Othello, a Moor, a black man, and he marries a white woman, which is sort of a subplot throughout through the thing. But this is the Iago's wife in this one. I forgot the character's name.
Amelia
is African-American actress. Huh. And it sort of takes the whole black-white thing out of the equation. It's more about the relationships of Iago and the web he's spinning.
Amazing.
Which I find is very interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, definitely something to see. There's so much I want to talk about. So
Keep going.
So the other thing is Ansed was in Transit, the a cappella musical, which I saw opening night, or the night before opening night. I saw it on Saturday. It opened on Sunday. Not so good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The reviews were pretty spot on.
They were. Okay.
Except for they were praising the cast, which I thought the cast was. And funny thing, I didn't register in my mind when I saw it. It's the stories that they portray. It's an a cappella musical. The music is lovely. Mm-hmm. It gets old after a while, but it's beautiful. And what a stellar cast of composers that they have in there, and directed and choreographed by Kathleen Marshall, and choreography.
It's got such good buzz within the theater community, that the theater community is putting all of their support behind it. And when you played something the other day, a couple of weeks ago on the radio, just the music, it sounded fun, but it also gave me a little agita. I started getting stressed, and I said, I mean, it's...
But it's like in transit.
It's in transit. I mean, and how timely that we're talking about cell phones on airplanes. And
oh, my God. Don't get me started on
it. It belongs off-Broadway. I think it should have stayed off-Broadway because it's a cute show.
The charm.
And I'll tell you, though, the difficulty of what those guys did on stage and trying to maintain character when you're not singing the lyrics, when you're like beatboxing or whatever and still trying to maintain
that's impressive
the
flow
of the five shows I saw, it was the only one that I wasn't crazy about.
Critics
were pretty interested in too. I know, that's interesting.
I was very interested in it because I love the I forgot the guy's name that did the arrangements for Pitch Perfect and the show on television.
I was going to call him your Pitch Perfect dude.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember his name.
I'll give you
his
name at some point. But we should say that the music was written by Kristen Anderson Lopez, among others. That's the only one, the name I know. James Allen Ford, Russ Kaplan, and Sarah Wadsworth were the other three. Deke Sharon is the person we're speaking of.
Deke's
name. Not all that crazy about it. So we need to talk about Hairspray. What y'all think?
Okay, well, I'll say this. 10 minutes into it, my brother looked at me and goes, "This is going way better than Peter Pan." I was like, "Yes, it is."
That's a pretty low bar, though.
That's a very low bar.
I did not like Tracy Turnblatt.
Me either.
I love your brother.
This is going way better than Peter Pan.
Yeah, that was his, and I was like, I don't know if that's good.
I didn't either. I can't remember her name. And actually, one of the podcasts I listened to.
She's from Texas. She's a Houston girl. I wanted her, and I so wanted to like
Ariana Grande in that role.
I loved her, actually.
I thought she was awful.
I didn't love her as Penny Pingleton as much as... Yeah, but...
That's my favorite role in the show.
It's one of
Penny
my favorite
Pingleton.
Roles, too, but here's the thing. There was like a lot. I was like, oh, I love her. I love Jennifer Hudson.
How can you not?
I just... The whole, like, she's not big, and the whole context of that song was really lost for me.
Yes.
Really was.
And I was like, putting the ladies out up above does not constitute as big.
I don't know if it was the format or a combination of the format and the material, but for whatever reason, a lot of the heart of Hairspray was lost for me in this.
I think you're right.
And I don't know what it is, because when I saw the show on stage, a lot of that darkness...
There's magic, there's
wonderful stuff. I don't know... I think it might be the format, this live taping of a television musical. For this one, maybe not, didn't fit, because it's such a delicate balance, thinking about what Divine did, thinking about the original source material of, like, it's a dark, twisted, funny, weird world, and it didn't translate in this format. They took out the opening number
of the second act, and that was just wrong, and that, like, had the whammy on that one, and kind of lost my stuff there.
But, like we always say, if people are watching musicals on their television...
I want them to keep doing it. We don't have a really great track record, although we are committed. This is the worst of them all. This is worst of the seven. Yeah. The best, oddly enough, was Sound of Music, but that was the first.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I did not.
But this was
that.
this was the worst. No, I'm talking about ratings and people watching.
I'm talking about personally. I thought this was personally getting better.
No, it was getting better. But I think whatever it was was better.
The Wiz
was better. Yeah. And I wasn't even crazy about
it. My mom got excited because she was like, why do I know that? The little Inez. Why do I know her? Why do I know her? And then she screamed out, she stuck it to the man. She's from School of Rock. And I, that made my day. I was like, Liz.
She was quite cute.
She was really good. Okay. Yeah. They were pushing the Bye Bye Birdie already, honestly.
Yeah, they're pushing the Bye Bye Birdie. They need to. Because it's going to be tough.
Which is
tough.
An odd choice.
Odd choice.
Sorry.
So I'm just going to blast through the rest because I want to talk about the shows I saw.
Yay!
Yeah.
And we only have just a very short time.
A wee little moment.
We talked about Sunday in the Park with George. We've talked about it on this show before when it happened. Jake Gyllenhaal. They finally announced it. It's going to happen. It's going to be at the Hudson, the first show in the Hudson.
Which is very exciting.
I was shocked it was this one.
Well, it was going to be Burn This. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to be Sunday in the Park with George. And they've got
it's always in the park with George.
I just have to say this because it's on my mind. I don't know why we really need another revival of Sunday in the Park with George. I love it. I don't know that we necessarily need one, and I hear that this one is particularly beautiful because of his and her performances.
Yes,
but
Annalee Ashford is the her we're talking of.
But
I love her.
I do too. I do too.
But is she booked for it? This one? She is.
Yes.
I didn't know whether she was booked for it or not.
So that's just my own two cents.
I agree. Well, I'm not a big fan of it. I am okay up until Act One is over, and then I wonder why Act Two exists.
Okay, that's pretty hilarious.
Sorry, that's how I feel.
And then I wonder why. Although you did find something recently. We were having a conversation about Sunday in the Park with George, and you had an epiphany on something and said you may look at the second act differently.
Oh, that's right. I forgot what it was.
I forgot what it was, too. But see, you have to go in with that mindset now.
All right. I'm open.
Could be.
All right. So I was just in New York.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I saw...
Where's that, Lisa?
It's a little northeast of here.
Up I-35.
Up I-35 and over on I-80. Over across the George Washington Bridge and down Broadway. There are several theaters there, and I went to a few.
You did?
I did, and I had some cheesecake.
And some real good pizza.
I did have some. I had two slices of pizza while I was there. One good, one not so good.
Did you have a dirty water dog?
I did have a dirty water dog.
All right.
I had to have a dirty water dog. Yeah, I went to... So I saw I'll go in order of the ones I saw. I saw Dear Evan Hansen.
Right, yes. Oh. I knew you were starting with that one.
All right. So a couple of things that really, first of all, it's an excellent show. It just opened last week. It got great reviews. Ben Platt, he carries it. He totally carries it. The guy, and I don't remember his name, who plays his friend, I liked him as well. And the boy that plays Connor, the young man that commits suicide, I thought was excellent. And that guy has been, and I wish I should have brought stuff so I'd know their names. That guy's been in the production since the very, very beginning. But Ben Platt carries it like from start to finish. And what I found interesting, his mother, the woman that played his mother, I didn't like her, but then every now and then she would just shine. Every now and then I would go, oh my God, she's incredible in these moments. But what I think is interesting, Ben Platt played Evan Hansen as someone on the spectrum. He did a lot of, there was a lot of hand twitching and things like that. What amazes me and what will be interesting as this goes forward, because it's going to play for a long time, to see how other people play it, because it could be played
in so many different ways.
And I hope somebody goes a whole different direction with it.
I'm so glad you liked it, because I've been rooting for this one. My dear, dear friend Michael Park plays his father.
Oh, yeah.
And called me and said, Nick, we do 100 readings of plays and musicals that are, and he goes, we're on there. This is one. This
That's
is one.
Special
he goes,
when
I
you
just
read
got
it.
This feeling, and I've been rooting for it for years, and I'm so glad that it's being received the way
it's a,
I'm so
it's
glad
a
you liked
beautiful
it.
Beautiful show. I wish I was sitting way on the side, so I didn't have great seats. I was in the orchestra, but I was way on the end. I would have liked to have sat center. It's got it's really nice. I do have to say one other thing real quickly about this group that one of my podcasts, their reviews are a little, they got hung up on the likelihood, like you wouldn't write a letter that says, Dear Evan Hansen. In the 21st century, a boy wouldn't do that. And a boy wouldn't say dear. And I'm going, why?
What?
First of all, why do you? This is theater. Why do you care anyway?
That's hysterical.
Second of all, they don't have relatives like mine, because all the children in our family still write thank you cards and write like that.
So well, yeah. So
if you want a gift, you best make a list and write a thank you card too.
The highlight of my four shows, and I think I'll stop here. I saw Evan Hansen, In Transit. Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
You saw The Groves.
The Groves did good.
Okay.
The Groves did good.
Now a fan of The Groves.
I'm a fan of him as an actor.
Did you watch the video I sent you? I haven't sent it to her yet. Did it make you kind of want to hang out with The Groves? He looked fun, didn't he? Good sense of humor.
Oh, man.
The Groves The Groves did good. He was
The Groves.
He was good. He's playing like opposite of the Groves that we see. He's a little unkempt and gruff and very good.
Okay, that just made my day. That was the best.
My highlight, kids, and Aunt Chicalella will agree with me, was falsettos.
Yeah, I'm so jealous.
Oh my God, this was an incredible production. And you needed buckets under me. Andrew Reynolds did so great.
Christian Borle.
I can
Christian
see it Borle. In your eyes right now as you talk about
Stephanie
it,
Stephanie J. Block in the number.
The ground.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That was a showstopper.
I love her.
Have you seen it? Did you see it?
No, I didn't see this production, but I'm feeling how much you loved it.
And the set. I forgot the guy that did the scenic. You walk in and you immediately see it's the empty stage with this big cube, and the cube is made up of a whole bunch of little things, and you know right away that that's going to open up to be the set. But they did this stylized set. The actors moved these cubes around and created all sorts of living room scenes, and then it wasn't until we get to the hospital we actually have real furniture that came in. Very interesting, and they did such a great job, and I wish I knew the actor's name that played the psychiatrist.
Gazzetti.
Excellent.
Yes.
Really, really good.
Gazzetti.
And the kid.
Maybe? Yeah.
Was good. I mean, it's hard to not like
but
the kid.
I love.
It's hard to not like.
I love that you're talking about this one, because this is one of my favorite pieces of theater. I haven't seen this production, but I'm hoping that more people will see this story and hear this music because of the success of this revival. I'm hoping that it comes back to the regions.
I want to do it.
I'm Let's do it.
I want to do it.
It's such a beautiful story.
There was a time when it regionally was really...
Well, Austin Theater Project did it here about 6 years ago.
Being done
a nice
production,
everywhere,
though. It's such a beautiful
show.
I'm
so glad you loved it. I'm really glad you loved it.
It was good. And I would say that... And I got a text from Robert Tolero asking me... He was asking whether he should go see In Transit. And I said no. And I said, go see Falsettos. He said, oh, God, that ticket was bought ages ago.
Yeah. Because he bought that. What did he buy? He bought that,
and
Dolly,
Hello, Dolly,
and something else.
But there is a, as I'm working with a lot more young artists, there's a little bit of a gap in their awareness to shows like this. There's a generational gap. And I'm so glad that this production is getting people reinvested in the material.
It is so not time-worn. It is not dated.
Mm-mm.
It is, it's... Well, that was the danger. It was a different time back in 1985 or whenever.
And how to explain that fear to this generation is actually necessary. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, Lisa, that you liked it.
Excellent. So I want to end this with playing a quick game of 20 questions. I want y'all to try to guess what the last show I saw was. Asking questions. I'm going to try to narrow it down for you right away. And you can, one question, hopefully you'll ask the right question at the first, which will really narrow it down. But I saw it Monday night.
Was it in a warehouse downtown?
No.
Was it a musical or a play? It was a musical.
It was not a musical.
It was a play then, Nick. And it was a Monday.
Broadway or off Broadway?
It was off Broadway.
Oh, it was on a Monday.
It was on a Monday off Broadway.
There's only a few houses, but now she threw me off the off Broadway. So
off Broadway.
Did you see
Naked Boys Singing?
No.
I love that show.
So it's not a musical. It was off Broadway on a Monday.
Oh, it couldn't have been Naked.
Was it at the Public Theater?
No, it was not.
Was it at a well-known off Broadway theater?
I would say it's well-known to New York theater people.
Okay.
A Manhattan Plaza area.
Oh, so it was at New World Stages.
No. Other side of Manhattan Plaza.
So it was at...
It was at the West Side Arts Theater.
West Side Arts Theater.
I had no idea. I'm stumped.
Okay, well, it has to do with... Do you know Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you know the song A Book Report On?
A Book Report on Peter Rabbit.
So Peter what?
Peter Pan?
No, Peter what?
Dinklage?
Peter what?
Pan?
Rabbit?
Rabbit.
White Rabbit, Red Rabbit?
Oh, what? You went to White Rabbit. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I saw the penultimate performance of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
How was it?
How was that?
It's interesting. And just to remind our audience, this is the show that the actor shows up. It's a different actor every week. And he's handed the script on stage, and nobody knows. You walk in theory, you don't know what the show is, and indeed, I didn't.
So, which actor did you see?
I saw James Roday, who was on a show called Psych. But it was very interesting. It closes with Richard Thomas. Is next Monday is the last show, and I'm not going
to
say the plot until next week.
Awesome.
After it closes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so it's very, very interesting. So that's what I saw. So we're going to, I'm going to skip this.
Yeah, I wasn't going to guess that. That was good.
Yeah, we've talked about White Rabbit, Red Rabbit several times on the show.
I know.
They've had like incredible people that have done it. And I meant to bring a list and now I've just drawn a blank. But lots of big stars did White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. And really a clever idea.
It is a clever idea.
I will say that it had a social conscience.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Celebrity Autobiography, which I loved. When they, when they would have people come and read autobiographies of celebrities.
I don't know that.
Oh, it's such a beautiful form. It's similar where you show up and a star is given a celebrity's autobiography and they stand up and read it and they're hysterical. So you have like Michael Urey reading Suzanne Summers' autobiography
or
Mario Cantone reading.
Andy Cohen likes to do that with his guests reading his own book.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was saying that.
Well, listen, we're going to take a break. But the one thing we didn't talk about was the Kiss Me, Kate concert version that's happening this week.
It happened yesterday.
Kelly O'Hara, Will Chase. So that's what we didn't talk about. And we're going to play a little bit from Kiss Me, Kate.
We'll
be right back.
We opened in Venice. We next play.
I didn't tease this enough, but Penfold Theater's done a radio broadcast every Christmas time for the past 4 years or so.
I think it's 4 years now, yeah.
And I think you should say that. Go ahead and say it.
I think it's 4 years
okay.
now.
Okay.
Sounded good.
And so I had been talking to Ryan Crowder and Nathan Jerkins over there of getting them in the studio to like just do it here as a radio play, and we'd give them the whole hour. Our compromise was I went to a dress rehearsal, I recorded it, and I edited it down to a half hour of the first act. The audio quality, I would say, is 87% good.
I listened to a bit of it. I thought it was pretty
good. Right, I'm just going to say 87% good.
I was impressed.
But before we go, we had asked Nick Mayo one part of Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
To give us a number between 1 and 26. What did you choose, Nick?
20.
I mean, 1 and 54.
26.
I gave it away. Let's see what it is, shall we? Here it is. Everybody got their headphones on? Here we go.
Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
We knew we had done
because
26
because we were
again.
All like 37, 37, and then 26, 26.
Let's see what 27 is real quick.
Okay,
this is Morgan Rover Reporter, New York Bureau, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Couldn't have said 27, could you?
Cutest.
That's my goddaughter, my
ever.
Niece. That's our roving reporter, New York Bureau.
That's right.
So little cute. Black swan. I love her.
All right. So, folks, for the next 29 minutes, I'd like you to sit back, relax, and listen to Penfold Theater's production of Nicole's favorite Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to KPNF and Penfold Theater Company's classic radio cast of It's a Wonderful Life. My name is David Jarrett, and it's my pleasure to be your guide this evening through this beloved tale of Christmas time. Assisting me this evening will be Paige McGee, Sarah Marie Curry, Robert L. Berry, and our special guest playing our own George Bailey, Ryan Crowder, all the way from Round Rock. Let's give them all a big round of applause, shall we? And, of course, we will, as always, be broadcasting in front of you, our own studio audience, and sending our little story out through the airwaves, the great American airwaves. So all of you at home, welcome, and thank you for spending your evening with us. This is the story of George Bailey. George Bailey, who more than anything under the sun, wanted to see the world. The wonderful, exciting world that lay somewhere beyond the limits of his hometown of Bedford Falls, New York. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. This story doesn't begin in Bedford Falls or with George Bailey. At least, not exactly. Our story begins with Joseph, the superintendent of angels, who has just summoned an apprentice angel named Clarence.
I'm coming, Joseph. Oh, sorry, I'm late.
What took you so long?
Oh, I was reading. I was right in the middle of my favorite part when... And I should have stopped. I know that.
Clarence... I need you to go to Earth.
Oh, I'm really going down to Earth, sir? Oh, how splendid!
Yes, Clarence. There's a man down there that needs our help. George Bailey. He's very discouraged. And at exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, he'll be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, his life!
Now sit down, and I'll give you Bailey's case history. When George was a boy, there were a couple of events that occurred that you should keep in mind. The first was when his younger brother, Harry, followed him sledding one winter.
All right, clear out, everybody. It's Harry's turn.
Is that him? Ooh, seems like a fine boy.
Keep watching.
Here he comes, the scaredy cat, my kid brother, Harry Bailey.
I ain't scared. Help! Help, George, help!
I'm coming!
So his brother fell through the ice and almost drowned, and George saved him.
Brother fell through the ice, George saved him. Got it.
Ever since, George has had a bad ear, all that icy water, you understand?
Bad ear, yes, sir.
Another event came a few months later. You see, George used to work after school in Mr. Gower's drugstore.
Me, Mr. Gower, George Bailey.
You're late.
Yes, sir.
Go man the counter. I've got to fill some pills for Mrs. Blaine's kid.
Yes, sir. Hi, Mary.
Hi, George.
What do you have?
Hello, Georgie.
Hello, Mary.
Well, you have Violet.
Mary, let's hear first.
I'm still thinking.
Ice cream, Violet?
Oh, the usual, Georgie.
Sure thing. I'll get it.
I like him.
You like every boy.
What's wrong with that?
Here you go.
Thank you. Bye, Georgie.
Made up your mind yet?
I'll have chocolate.
Oh, with coconut?
Oh, I don't like coconut.
I don't like coconut? Say, don't you know where coconut comes from? From Tahiti, the Fiji Islands, the Coral Sea. Look at here.
Oh, is that a new magazine? I've never seen that before.
Of course you never. Only us explorers can get it. Been nominated for membership in the National Geographic Society. Let me get you some coconut.
George Bailey, I'm going to love you until the day I die.
Huh?
What?
I couldn't hear you. That's my bad ear.
Nothing.
I'm going to go exploring one of these days. Just you watch.
Joseph, what should I be writing down here? The coconut stuff?
What? Oh, no. We're just introducing characters. But you're right. We should skip ahead to that second important event that I told you about. You see, that day, Mr. Gower received a telegram telling him that his only son had died of influenza. It was a terrible blow, and Mr. Gower tried to lose his grief in whiskey. So later that day...
Where you been, George? Mrs. Blaine's called twice. What happened to her prescription? You lost it, didn't you?
No, Mr. Gower, there it is.
Why, you're good for nothing. No, you're... Oh! That girl is very sick.
Oh, my ear, Mr. Gower. I'm hurting my sore ear. You don't know what you're doing, Mr. Gower. You'll put something wrong on those capsules. Look, this bottle here, it's poison.
Oh, poison?
You use that bottle to make up the capsules.
I use that? That bottle is poison?
Please don't hurt my sore ear again.
Oh, George.
That's why I didn't deliver it, Mr. Gower. I know you're upset. George. I know you didn't mean to.
As George grew up, he wanted to go to college, but there just wasn't the money. So he worked 4 years at the building and loan.
George... When you get out of college, I don't suppose you'd come back to the building and loan.
Oh, Pop, I just couldn't. I couldn't spend the rest of my life cooped up in a shabby little office. I'm sorry, Pop, I didn't mean that. It's just this business on nickels and dimes. I go crazy. I want to do something big, something important.
You're in a small way, George. I think we all are doing something important in that shabby little office.
I know, Pop. I know. I wish I just feel like if I don't get out, I'd bust.
Well, you're right, boy. You're right. You get yourself an education, then you get out of here.
You want a shock? I think you're a pretty great guy.
Why don't you go over to Harry's dance? You'll have a good time.
Oh, maybe I will at that. Maybe I will.
So George Bailey went to a dance. Is that important, Joseph?
Well, yes. It was at that dance that George fell in love with Mary Hatch.
Oh, who?
Mary Hatch. Hmm. And 3 hours later, when he and Mary were walking home, they were feeling pretty good.
Buffalo Girls, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo Girls, can't you come out tonight? And dance by the light of the moon.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful.
Just like an organ. You know, but when me talking, I'd say you were the prettiest girl in town.
Well, why don't you say
I don't know. Maybe I will. Oh, say, look where we are.
Hmm? Oh, the old Granville house.
Yeah, I gotta throw a rock.
Oh, no, don't. I love that old house.
Well, no, don't you know? You make a wish and then you throw a rock. If you hit glass, it'll come true, which can be pretty hard now that all the easy stuff's gone.
Oh, but George, it's such a lovely old place. I wish I lived there.
In there? I wouldn't live in that if I was a ghost. Now watch. Watch this, huh? Ugh. Hey, not bad. I broke a window.
And what'd you wish for, George?
Oh, not just one wish, Mary, a whole hatful. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet. I'm going to see the world, Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. I'm going to come back here, go to college, see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high and bridges a mile long. Hey, Mary, you going to throw a rock, too? Hey, good shot.
Thank you.
What'd you wish for?
Oh, no. No, if I tell you, it might not come
well,
true.
Come on now, Mary. What do you want, huh? What do you want? You want the moon? All you got to do is say the word now, and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Okay. The moon. I'll take it. And then what?
Then what? Well, then you could swallow it, see? And it all dissolve, and the moonbeams would come out of your hair and your fingers and the ends of it. Am I talking too much?
Yes, why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
Youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Wait a minute. Now you come back out here and I'll show you some kissing that'll put hair back on your head.
George.
Uncle Billy, what's wrong?
George, get in the car. Come quick. Your father's had a stroke.
What?
Come on, George, hurry.
Mary, I'm sorry.
George's father died that night, Clarence. So George didn't go to Europe. And that fall, just as he was ready to leave for college, the directors of the building and loan held a meeting. They were finally ready to appoint a successor.
Now, on to the remaining business, a successor for our dear friend Peter Bailey.
Come now. As long as Peter Bailey's dead, let's dissolve the building and loan. We don't need it.
Now, just wait a minute.
No, you wait a minute. Peter Bailey was not a businessman, a good man, sure. He was an idealist, but ideals with common sense can ruin a town.
Now, hold on a minute, Mr. Potter.
Oh, I meant no disrespect. Peter Bailey was a man of high ideals, so-called. But after all these years of throwing money around, what has the building and loan given Bedford Falls? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class...
Now, just wait a minute there. Now, why my father ever started this penny-ante building and loan, I'll never know, but... Well, you remember this, Mr. Potter, this rabble you're talking about. Well, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, he died a much richer man in my book than you'll ever be.
I'm not concerned about your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on, and it's galling you. That's what you're talking about. Well, you fellas do what you want with this place, but well, this town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have a place where people can go without crawling to Potter. And if Bedford Falls is ever... Oh, I've said too much already.
Sentimental hogwash.
George, we've just voted Potter down. We're still in business.
We're still in business.
There's all one right. condition, George. They've appointed you to take your father's place.
Me? No, I'm going to college. Now, this is my last chance. Uncle Billy, he's your man.
George, you've got to take it. They'll vote with Potter otherwise.
I know. George Bailey didn't go to college.
That's right, Clarence. He gave his college money to Harry, and Harry went instead.
George, did you know Mary Hatch is back from school?
Oh, yeah.
Nice girl, Mary.
Mm.
Might be neighborly to say hello sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, stop grunting. Give me one good reason why you shouldn't call on Mary.
Sam Wainwright. Sam's crazy about her.
Well, she's not crazy about him.
Well, how do you know that? Did she discuss it with you?
Besides, Sam is away in New York.
And all's fair in love and war.
I don't know about war.
All right. Okay, I see. All right, Mrs. Bailey, I'm off to do a little passionate necking.
Oh, George!
No, don't try and stop me. Say, Mother, you want any books from the library?
A library? George, you go and see Mary. Do you hear?
George?
Oh, hello, Mary.
And what brings you over so late at night?
Well, I just happen to be walking by, that's all.
Oh. Well, would you like to come in, or have you not made up your mind yet?
About what?
About coming in. Your mother just phoned. Said you were coming over.
My mother? No, I just happened to be passing by, that's all.
Well?
Well, all right. I'll come in for a minute. No, I didn't tell anybody I was coming over here. When'd you get back?
Tuesday.
Oh, I don't understand it. I didn't tell anybody I was coming over here.
Would you rather leave?
No, I don't want to be rude. I'll sit down for a minute.
It's nice about your brother and Ruth, isn't it?
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, don't you like her?
Of course I like her. She's a peach.
Oh, it's just marriage in general you're not enthusiastic about.
No, marriage is fine for a lot of people. It's fine for Harry and Sam Wainwright and you.
For Sam.
Mary, who's that?
It's George Bailey, Mother.
What does he want?
I don't know. What do you want, George?
Me? What? Nothing. I just came in to get warm.
He's professing his undying love to me, Mother.
I what?
Well, you tell him to go right back home. Sam Wainwright said he'd call you tonight from New York, didn't he?
I guess so.
Now, your mother... You know I didn't come over here,
did you? What did you come here
I don't know. You're the one who's supposed to have all the answers. Why don't you tell me?
Why don't you just go home?
I will. I don't know why I came over here in the first place.
All right, I'll get it. Hello?
Hee-haw, Mary. Gee, it's good to hear your voice again.
Hee-haw. How are you, Sam? I was just talking to an old friend of yours, George Bailey.
Old Mossback George?
Old Mossback George.
Well, put him on. I'll talk to him, too.
Hello, Sam.
Fine, pal. You are George. Hee-haw! Trying to steal my girl.
What do you mean? Nobody's trying to steal anybody's girl.
Wait, Mary, George. I want to speak to both of you.
Give me that phone.
George!
Well, Mary, you listen to me. I don't want any plastics, and I don't want any job, and I don't want to get married to anyone ever. Do you understand that? I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to... Oh, Mary.
Oh, George.
Mary, darling, I love you.
I love you, too.
Well, well.
Yes.
So, George Bailey and Mary Hatch
were... Yes, George and Mary were married, and George was finally off to see the world on their honeymoon.
Hey, where are you two going on this here now honeymoon?
Welcome back to KPNF and Penfold Theater Company's It's a Wonderful Life classic radio cast, where George and Mary had just started out on their honeymoon, only to run smack dab into the financial crisis of 1932. In the waiting room of the building and loan, 100 frantic people were clamoring for their savings.
Where's the door locked? Now, wait a minute. I'll be right back. Let me find Uncle Billy. Now, listen, folks. Now, hold on a minute. Please, quiet.
How about our money, George? Where's our money?
Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. Now, you're thinking about this place all wrong. Your money's not here.
What do you mean, my money?
Hold on. Your money's in people's houses. It's in the Kennedy house and the McLaren house and your house. And 100 other stuff? What are you going to do, foreclose on them?
I've got $242 in here. Now let me have it.
All right, Charlie. Now you fill out this form and you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
I got my old money. Old man Potter's taken over the bank and he'll pay you 50 cents on the dollar.
50 cents on the... Half is better than nothing. Let's take our shares to Potter.
Wait a minute. Please, folks, I beg you not to do this. If Potter gets all of your shares, he'll be owning this here building and loan. Now, he's got the bank. He's got the bus lines and the department stores. And now he's after us because he wants to keep you living in his shacks and paying the kind of rent he decides to charge. Now, we can get through this, but we have to have faith in each other.
Well, I can't feed my kids on faith.
My husband's out of work. I need money, George.
Well.
Oh, where's our money?
How much do you need?
Hey, Mary.
We've got $2,000. Here it is, George.
Mary, you're a lifesaver. Hold on, one at a time, everybody. Just form a line. All right, Charlie. Yes. How much do you need?
$242.
Oh, Charlie, just enough to tide you over.
I want my $242.
Okay, okay. Uncle Billy, give Charlie $242.
That'll close my account.
No, your account's still open. This is just a withdrawal. I'll see you next week like usual. Ed, how about you? Just enough to get by?
$20, I suppose.
Oh, we're talking. Mrs. Thompson?
It's your own money, George.
Well, never mind about that. How much do you need?
I suppose I could get by with... 1750?
I could kiss you, Mrs. Thompson. Uncle Billy, give us 1750. Pay it back when you can now. Pay it back when you can. All right. All right. Who's next?
Look at the clock.
We're going to
make it.
Three, two, one. Shut that clock. We made it. Lock that door quick, Uncle Billy. Oh, we're still in business, and we even got $2 left.
Oh, Mama Dollar and Papa Dollar.
Yeah, and if we're going to stay in business, they better start having kids real quick. I'm going to put them in the vault for a little private honeymooning. Honeymoon. I'm supposed to be on my honeymoon, Uncle Billy. Where's Mary?
Hello?
I'm married!
George, there's a call for you.
Tell him to call back later, will you? And get my wife on the phone. She's probably over at her mother's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the line.
I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey, that is my wife. Give me the phone, will you? Listen, Mary, I'm sorry. Come home? What home? 323 Sycamore? Whose home is that?
Number 323 Sycamore was the old Granville house, the one George and Mary threw rocks at and made wishes on.
Welcome home, George.
Sorry about your honeymoon.
Oh, I can wait. I can be patient. Besides, this is what I wished for all those years ago when we were throwing rocks after the dance to live here with you.
You want to live here?
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it a home.
Our home.
Yes, sir. That's where they spent their honeymoon. That's the place they fixed up and made a home out of. And from that home, George and Mary built a whole neighborhood around them. New homes for the town. One by one, families moved out of Potter's Field to own their own homes in Bailey Park.
Hey, Martini, you rent a new house?
Rent? You hear that, Mr. Bailey? I own my own house. Me. Giuseppe Martini, I own my own house. No longer we live like pigs in a potter's field.
Right this way, Mr. Martini.
Hush, now we're getting you a new home, eh?
Welcome home. We've brought you some housewarming gifts. Bread, that this house might never know hunger. And salt, that life might always have flavor.
And wine, that joy and prosperity may reign forever. Enter the Martini castle.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
Mary, are you on the nest?
George Bailey, lasso stork.
Mary had her baby, Clarence, a boy.
Congratulations to the Baileys.
Then she had another one, a girl.
Well, what do you know?
Then two more little Baileys came along not long after, another boy and another girl.
Wow.
And night after night, George would come home late from the office. Things weren't going good with the building and loan. Potter was really bearing down on him. And then came the war.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yes. Everybody did their part. Even with four children, Mary still had time to help out with the USO. Uncle Billy sold war bonds. And George's brother Harry, well, he became a real hero. Shot down 15 planes trying to save a passenger convoy.
But George, what about George?
George, 4F on account of his ear. He was an air raid warden, fighting the non-existent battle of Bedford Falls, on through VE Day and right on up to VJ Day.
We're getting pretty close to today, aren't we, sir?
Yes, Clarence. You now know almost everything you need to know about George, except what happened that finds him down there at this very moment, wanting to die.
Well, sir, well?
Well, today's the day before Christmas, Earth time. It's Christmas Eve. George is pretty excited.
Hey, Bert, look at the newspaper.
Yeah, looks like snow tonight.
No, looks like snow. No, look, Bert, right there on the front page. Commander Harry Bailey, decorated by the President.
We're all real proud of him.
That's my kid brother with the Congressional Medal of Honor. What do you think about that? Shot a plane down just as it was about to dive into a transport loaded with soldiers. Gee whiz. Where's Uncle Billy?
Oh, I saw him going to the bank with his own pile of newspapers.
Oh, good, good. We got a big deposit to put in. The bank examiner's coming later. Merry Christmas, Horace.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Last minute deposit before the holiday.
Oh, right you are. And a big one, too. $8,000. Let me grab the envelope here. I don't want to drop
the... Oh, you want me to hold some of those newspapers?
Oh, you want a newspaper? Well, you can have one. I've been handing them out all over town. Here, take one. It's Potter. Give me one of those papers. I want to rub it in his nose. Well, Mr. Henry F. Potter, come to the bank to deposit some more loot, eh?
Out of my way, you old fool.
Well, how do you like what you read in the paper, Mr. Potter? You can't keep those Bailey boys down now, can you?
Get that paper out of my face.
No, you can keep it.
I don't have time for this, Horace. I'll be in my office.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas from the Baileys. Okay, Horace, here you go. Deposit slip, a bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
And to you, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
How's that? I've forgotten things all my life. You're going to have to be more specific.
Mr. Bailey, where's the money?
What's that?
Well, you want to make a deposit, right? Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
Oh, yes, of course. It's right here in my... maybe I put it in... It's gone. Where did I put it? Where did I put that money? A terrible thing, Clarence. A terrible thing. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 in it was folded up in that newspaper that he gave to Old Man Potter.
What happened to it, Uncle Billy?
I just don't know. I just don't know.
$8,000, and the bank examiner's here, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
What are we going to do, George? I mean, we retraced every step that I took.
George, dear, welcome home.
Oh, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy. Could you get the tinsel over the fireplace? I've got my hands busy with dinner.
I was going to do it, but Mom said I couldn't stand on the stool. But you let me stand on the stool, wouldn't you, Dad?
Janie, do you have to keep playing that same song over and over and over again?
Party, Daddy.
Mommy said will you stay up till midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Can you sing, Daddy?
Better hurry and shave. All the families will be here soon.
Well, families? I don't want our families over here.
Is it another hectic day, dear?
Yeah, another big red-letter day for the Baileys.
Daddy, the neighbor's got a new car. You can see it. It's a Studebaker.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Excuse me.
Excuse you about what?
I burped.
All right, you're excused, Tommy. Petey, dear, take this glass of water, run it upstairs, and see if Zuzu's all right.
Dear Mom.
What's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she's in bed. She caught a cold coming home from school. Her teacher gave her a flower as a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
Was it a sore throat?
George, the doctor says it's nothing serious.
Was the doctor here? Is she running a temperature?
Oh, just a teensy one.
Oh, gosh, it's this drafty old house. No wonder we don't all have pneumonia. It's like living in a refrigerator. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Wrong? Everything's wrong. You call this a happy family? Why do we have to have all these kids?
Hey, how you
I don't know how you spell it. Ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Upstairs to see Zuzu.
Hello?
Does no one know how to spell Frankenstein?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Welch.
I do, but I'm not telling.
I'm on the phone. Yes, Mrs. Welch. I'm sure she'll be all right.
Well, who's that?
It's Zuzu's school teacher. Yes, the doctor says she'll be fine tomorrow.
Now, give me that phone.
George.
Hello, Mrs. Welch. This is George Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that, half naked?
George,
you realize
please.
She'll probably get pneumonia because of your stupidity? I mean, maybe my kids aren't the best-dressed kids in town, but at least the... Hello? Hello? Now, Janie, will you cut it out with the lousy piano? Now, stop it! Stop it!
George, for heaven's sake, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Mary. Janie, I'm sorry. Now, you go on and play. But, Petey, what do you want to know?
George, you're frightening them.
I can't. Oh, Mary.
Hello? Bedford, 247, please.
Is Daddy in trouble?
I think so.
Shall I pray for him?
Yes, Janie. Pray very hard.
Me too?
You too, Tommy. Hello, Uncle Billy?
So that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in your accounts, eh?
Please, Mr. Potter, I'll do anything if you still want the building and loan.
You say it was lost. Have you notified the police?
No, I haven't, sir. Well, Harry's homecoming and all.
What have you been doing, Potter? Playing the market with the company's money?
No, sir. No, I haven't.
Well, what is it, then? A woman? I mean, it's all over town that you've been giving money to Violet Bick.
What?
Not that it matters to me. But why come to me? Why not go to your good friend, Sam Wainwright?
Can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have, George? What collateral?
I have a life insurance policy, $15,000.
Let me see. What is your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000. George, you once called me a warped, frustrated old man. What are you but a warped, frustrated young man, crawling in here on your hands and knees, begging for help? Why don't you go to that riffraff you love so much and ask them for help?
Please, I'll do anything, Mr. Potter.
$500? You know what, George? You're worth more dead than alive.
Please help me, my wife and kids.
You know what I'm going to do for you, George? I'm going to call the district attorney.
You can.
Misappropriation of funds, malfeasance, investment fraud. That's right, George. Make a run for it, but you can't hide in my town. Merry Christmas, George. And we'll be right back after this brief intermission. Thank you, and stay tuned.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Squared.
Nick Squared!
That's Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. Hey, I should just say that Penfold Theater's It's a Wonderful Life... It's not easy to say.
Mm-mm.
It's a Wonderful Life classic radio cast plays now through December 23rd. For more information, penfoldtheater.org. And we are... Plum out of time. Sugar plum out of time. So I had so many plans for right now, but we don't get to do them.
Well, I know we'd even count down to Christmas. We're past the 11 days and the 14.
Oh no, we're gonna do it next week. It's already in the plan.
Okay.
So if you remember, you can you should be listening to us on our podcast.
Hello.
You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and other places. And then the best way to get us is right in your mailbox, right, Nicole?
Yeah, just go to offstageonair.com, enter your email in the little box on the right-hand corner, and voila! You get Lisa and Nick Squared in your mailbox.
Voila!
We arrived.
If you're listening on the broadcast, Austin Monitor News is next. There will be no backstage at Offstage right now today, so this is the end. But I just need to... This is how I feel about the three of us. All right?
Yay!
Okay.
Wherever we go, whatever we do, we're gonna go through it together. We may not go far, but sure as a star,